Before we get into the message for today, just want to touch base on a couple of things. Last Wednesday night, we had our annual business meeting, and as boring as that might sound, it really also were able to hear from some of the different ministries and some of the different things that God has been doing and some plans and things that we have for the future. And so I'm really, really thankful for that. If you weren't able to be here, we understand, but we missed you. We missed you. We had a good number here who were officially members of the church, and we had a good number here who weren't, and we were just thankful for everyone that showed up. And a couple of things I do want to highlight from that before we get going. Every year we have a little bit of turnover in our leadership council. Our bylaws require, and actually I think it's a good thing, require that we have leaders who are constantly rotating in and out. And this past year we've been privileged to have serving us two of our leadership council members who were either coming to an end of a current term or we're not going to be able to continue on in the current setting. One of them was Bobby Lawhorn. Bobby actually, where is he? Oh, there he is. He actually was renominated and has come back on to our leadership council for another term, and I'm thankful for that. And then also we had one who was rotating off and was not ineligible for another term, and that was Mr. Chris Corby. And I told Chris, I said, you may not officially be on our leadership council, but we still recognize those leadership qualities in you, and we'll continue to tap into that, and he's agreed to continue to play a part. But in him stepping off, it allowed for a new leadership council member to come on, and so our newest leadership council member, Mr. Tony Robertson, and I'm just thankful. Amen. I'm thankful for Tony. And speaking of that, Tony also heads up our young adults college career. I'm not sure exactly how to categorize that. And he's probably going to want to be touching base with some of you guys that fall into that category just to see exactly how we can best serve you in that way. So just be on alert for that. He may catch you out there in the lobby or maybe calling on you or something like that. So just be ready for that. One more thing I will mention before we move on. We've been praying now for about a year and a half that God would bring to us someone who would just take the reins in our youth ministry. I've been trying to do that, and our youth have been very, very gracious to me. They didn't make me feel like an old man or anything like that. They may have thought it, but they never said it out loud. They've been very gracious to me. But in any case, we've been praying and thought we had a few times when something was going to materialize, but it was almost as if it was like, no, that's not quite it, not quite it. And so now I'm just really thankful God has brought to us, at least for this season, God has brought to us a team, a young man who's going to be working with our youth. And so I'm going to go ahead and introduce him officially to you, Pastor Josh, right there. Stand up and give a big wave. Yeah. Yeah. So we're thankful. God bless you, buddy. And we'll be, would you say something? No? Okay. Good enough. That's fair enough. But we will be hearing from you in the future. So that's a part of the stretching and the way that God wants to use you. So we're thankful for that. And by the way, just so you know how much I trust him, I have two of my own daughters in that youth group. So that's how much I trust this young man and the work that they're doing there. So thank God for that. Amen. Amen. Him and Miss Lisa are going to be leading our youth on the Potomac District Youth Conference at the end of the month. So be in prayer for them for that. Anyway, all right, you guys ready? Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Still working our way through the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. It's good to see you, Brother Harvey. Yeah, amen. Yeah, good to see you. Was it just some medication kind of out of balance or something? All right. Well, we're glad to see you. Amen. And that doesn't mean we're not glad to see anyone else, but we're glad to see Harvey today. So we have some that are out that are sick. We want to be remembering those folks. This seems to be a pretty particularly difficult season. God is good. Ephesians chapter 6, we want to start looking at verse 10. Before we get into the actual scripture, Let me just kind of step back again. This is the teacher in me. I have to do this. We have to make sure we put things in their context. So really quickly, just as a real quick reminder, we've been going now for quite a while, actually, through the book of Ephesians. And our basic understanding was this. God has specific purpose in mind, whether it's for you individually or whether it's for the body of Christ. But that God is not some chaotic, uncertain grand being out there who just haphazardly and randomly allows and causes things to happen. But God is intentional. And when he acts with purpose. And we have come to understand that the book of Ephesians is a really good place for us to understand some of the things that God has purposed, some of the things that God has intended from the very beginning. And so we started in chapter 1, and we're now progressed all the way down to where we're in chapter 6. But these are some of the things that we've come to realize that God has specifically purposed. God purposed to have for himself a people who were uniquely set apart and called to him and him alone. We call it the New Testament church. But God is the one that purposed that and set everything in motion to make that happen. And then God has purposed that those who are in him, and remember, that's the key, in Christ, in him. Those who are in him, those that he has purposed to be called unto himself, he has purposed that they grow and mature. And then we further saw the precise nature in detail of the saving work that God has purposed to take place in us. He's purposed that we live in unity. He's purposed that there be Christian service. He has purposed that the church would grow. And then we saw some weeks ago that God has purposed that we experience victory from our internal struggles. Remember we talked about that, that the battle really wages in the mind. And it's our own sinful nature. Sometimes it is our absolute worst enemy. And so God has purposed that we experience internal victory. And then we went on and we talked about the Christian walk, that God has purposed that we walk in love and light and wisdom and Holy Spirit power. And then we had a series of three sermons within sermons, I guess, about how God has purposed that we walk a certain way and experience relationships together. And now we find ourselves in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13. And today we want to discover that God has purpose for us. This is actually the first part of a multi-part series again. That God has purposed that we experience external victory. Because how many of you know, sometimes it's not just the things that take place within us. Sometimes it's the things that are taking place around us that cause us difficulty. And so it's not only God's intent that we experience internal victory, but even that we experience victory externally and in the things that are attacking us from without. So we then turn to Ephesians 6, 10. Here we go. You ready? Finally, we've just finished up all of these other benefits and all of these things that God has purposed for us to enjoy in Christ. And so Paul says it this way, finally, be strong in the Lord. And in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God so that you can make your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this world's darkness, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. And having done everything, to stand. A couple of things I want to point out in that scripture before we move on. There's the word near the bottom. Second line from the bottom, third word in. Able. And so in spite of the fact that there is external battles taking place, God has made provision for us that enables us. That's a key. So in spite of the difficulty, in spite of the severity of the conflicts that we find ourselves in, God has not left us without ability and without enablement and without provision. We are able in Him to experience victory from external forces. And then another thing I want to point out says, and after you've done everything, to stand. That requires a willingness. You see, God's ability in and of itself doesn't make a difference for me unless I am willing to experience His ability. It's like kinetic energy. Unless I tap into it, it's just sitting there like a generator running with nothing plugged into it. It's able, but it requires a willingness to tap in if I am to experience God's ability. Wow. So we're not going to actually get into the various components of the armor. And I promise you, I'm not going to stand up in front of you with a plastic suit of armor on. If you'd like to do that, that's fine. But I'm not going to do that. I don't have one, first off. But I think that maybe there are other ways that we can find out. So in the weeks ahead, we're going to be taking a look at the various components or various parts of this provision that God has given to us. But today, I think I want to just dig in and help us to understand why this provision is so necessary. And so it's vital. I really believe that it's vital that we recognize the reality of the conflict. Because it's easy to just bury your head in the sand, or it's easy to just say, oh, well, that's just one of those things. Oh, that's just the way things happen. And if we're not careful, we will blindly try to move forward and try to walk successfully in Him, failing to realize that there really is a conflict. There really is a battle that is waging for your very soul. Looking at that scripture, Paul begins by saying this, finally. He's now through the first five chapters and even in the beginning of the sixth chapter, he's been describing to us all of the various ways that God wants to bless us, all of the various purposes that God has for us in Christ. And now he seems to be winding down. But before he concludes, he has one more purpose of God to declare. Finally, he said, be strong in the Lord. In light of the fact that God has purposed that the New Testament church exists, in light of the fact that he wants you to grow and mature, in light of the fact that he wants us to serve him, in light of the fact of all of these other purposes that God has declared for us, in light of all of that, finally, your posture ought to be one of strength. How in the world can we recognize all that God has done and continues to do on our behalf and be in a position of weakness? Instead, God says, in light of all that I've done, be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Well, why would he have to tell us that? In the next few verses, you'll see exactly why he needed to start out this passage that way. Be strong in the Lord. See, it's impossible for us to serve God for any length of time before we realize that we are in a real conflict against external forces. I mean, as if our internal conflict is not enough. I mean, I know I struggle internally, and so do you. Sometimes we don't like to admit it. It's our own doubts. It's our own uncertainties. It's our own innate weaknesses. It's our own inclination to do what is wrong rather than what is right. It's our own selfishness that's built into us. And so the internal conflict, as if that's not bad enough. In addition to that, there's always another person who's willing to just get under your skin. We all have those folks. Some of us have more than one of those kinds of folks. You know the kind of people that you have to love from across the room? I love you as long as you're over there. You get close to me and it gets more and more difficult. We all have those people. You laugh. You know it's true. We all have those people. And so as if the internal struggle of my own nature is not enough, and as if the conflict that I have against other people is not enough, now the scripture's telling me that I'm actually in a battle against spiritual forces. And so that's why Paul begins this passage this way. Finally, if you're going to experience true victory, if you're going to really experience all that God has purposed for you, it's going to require that you take a posture of strength. And he says it this way, be strong. Now, again, I don't want to bore you too much on this, but I do think it's important to drill in on something. In the original language, in the Greek language, in the Koine, that phrase, be strong, it is a present, active, imperative verb. Present means it needs to be taking place right now. You can't wait to be strong. You can't wait until tomorrow in order to be strong. You can't depend on yesterday's strength. You need to be strong right now. Be strong. Present active. That means it's something that you participate in. As much as I appreciate the prayers of my mama growing up, as much as I appreciate the prayers of my grandmother growing up, as much as I appreciate your prayers right now, I can't be strong in your strength. I've got to be strong. Right now, be strong. And then the final is, it's an imperative. In other words, you don't have a choice in the matter. You're about to see exactly why it's an imperative. You're about to see exactly why this is not an option for you. You will get your rear end kicked if you are not strong in the Lord. I know that's a little bit blunt. Is that okay? Think how much you struggle internally against your own self. And you think you don't have an imperative to be strong when you're facing principalities and powers and rulers of darkness? Come on. And so that's why Paul begins this way. Be strong. You, right now, do it. No alternatives. Be strong. But the beautiful part of that is, The thing that puts this strength in its right context is the very next phrase, in the Lord. Can I tell you? Neither you or I possess the ability to be strong in our own strength. Anybody ever try to fight the devil in your own strength? Ask Simon the sorcerer how that turns out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You are no match for him. I will guarantee that. I'm no match for him. I'll guarantee that. And so the strength that we're to stand in, this posture of strength that we are to assume, isn't man-made. It isn't self-generated. It isn't like, well, I'm just going to educate myself and pull myself up by my own. It's not that at all. It's the strength of the Lord. And in the power of his might. Woo! Now that puts it in its appropriate context. So this strength that God is calling me to take on, this ability that God is wanting me to assume, I don't have to generate it, thank goodness, because I can't. This posture of divine ability that God is wanting me to assume, it's from the Lord. It goes right back to what we said from the very beginning of this series. All of this purpose that God has declared over our life finds its fulfillment in Christ. You take it outside of that context, and all bets are off. Stand firm, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. One thing is certain, my friend. God has sufficient power to enable us to overcome in external battles. No doubt about it. And so we're to assume the right posture, and that posture is strength. But we are also to take on the right course of action. You see, God has given us this strength so that we would be able to take appropriate action. And the action is this: be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can make your stand against the devil's schemes. In case you don't know, let me declare it without doubt today. We will not be able to experience victory in our external battles unless we put on something, and that something is God's provision. We are to take action. Can I tell you this? No one else can put the armor on to you, and no one else can wear it for you. Wouldn't that be awesome if someone who really loved us and someone who really knew how to pray was able to say, you know what, I've been praying for you, so here, let me put God's armor onto you. That would be nice, but that's not the way it says. No, you, the reader, the one who's hearing my words right now, you are the one, because God has enabled you and because you're standing in the strength that God has given to you, you are the one who is to put on that armor. And another thing that would be nice is if someone could wear my armor for me. You know, I'm just a little tired and I'd rather sit this one out. Could you just take this one? Here, this is the armor that God has given to me. Could you put this armor on and fight this external battle for me? I'm just not into it today. Sure, I'll be glad. It doesn't work that way. Which, by the way, they've got their own armor. And so you want them to put your armor on them? And they've got their own battles to fight. That would be nice, though, wouldn't it? I'm reminded of the story, the retelling of a historical event from the Old Testament. See, the Bible, the Old Testament is not just cool stories, it's actually history. I'm reminded of the occasion when King Saul, he was the king at the time, and his forces were aligned and they were standing face to face with the forces of one of their great enemies throughout the generations, and that was the Philistines. And the Philistines had a secret weapon. They had this big, huge, tall guy, Goliath, a big man. And he would come out daily. The Bible says daily. He would come out to the battlefront and he would just launch out cursings and swearings, and he would say, you're nothing before me. Where is your God now? And the people of God, under the leadership of King Saul, they just would cower. And nobody, I mean, I can't imagine that. Nobody, or not even two people together, or not even four people together, were willing to confront this guy. And then a little shepherd boy, the one that was bypassed by everyone else, David, he says, I'm not going to put up with this. I'm not going to have this heathen stand here and swear at us like this. I know my God. I know how He's come on me in power, and I, with my bare hands, would tear bears apart. there's no way that I'm going to let him stand here and say that. And now all of a sudden, Saul wants to get brave. Oh, good. I'm glad you've stepped up to the challenge here. Let me just give you my armor. My armor that someone made. And so here's David trying to put on Saul's armor so that he can fight the enemy. And that thing had to be hanging off of him. I mean, the sleeves are way down here. What should be the breastplate's probably way down here. Walking around in that thing, clunking around. And David came to the conclusion, this isn't going to work. Not only are the things that are supposed to be protected unprotected when I'm wearing someone else's armor, but I can't even move in this. It's heavy and it's cumbersome. It wasn't made for me. It doesn't fit me. It's going to hinder me. It's actually going to make it worse than it would have been if I tried to fight the enemy without one. And so you know the rest of the story. He said, this is not going to work for me. And he went out with God's provision. And he was victorious. And so I think about that now. I say, okay, so there's an enemy, whether his name is Goliath or whatever it is, but there's an enemy out there that is threatening me and is threatening God's people. It's an external battle. It's not an internal fight that I'm fighting. It's something out there that is threatening me. And I'm sorry, my friend, but your armor is for you. It won't fit me. But that's okay, because God has provision for me too. And so I can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And I can, and I choose to, take upon myself, just as I would clothe myself with a literal suit of armor, I choose to clothe myself with all of God's provision for me. I make that choice, and I can do that. I can't even make the choice unless God empowers me. But because I'm strong in His might, I can choose to take up the battle in God's provision for me. And I love the way it says, put on the full armor of God. God's not going to leave any area of your life unprotected. He's not going to leave any part of you unsecured. It is a full armor. We're going to explain it all in its different capacities over the next several weeks. But the thing we need to understand today is the enemy knows exactly where your vulnerabilities are, and God has already made provision to protect those very vulnerable places in your life. Take on the full armor of God. Take on the full armor. Nothing lacking. And then it's not just the full armor, it's the full armor of God. Oh man, don't you love this? It's the full armor of God, as opposed to the armor of my own striving, as opposed to the armor of things that I might try to come up with to protect and ensure my own self. No. God has the one given me the strength. It is God's provision for me. Anything else is Saul's armor. Anything else is inapplicable. It doesn't protect me like it's supposed to. It hinders me, actually. But God's provision fits me like a glove and protects me from head to toe. God's provision. It enables us. This is interesting, too. Take a look at that scripture. We're going to look down at verse 13 now. We're going to come back and look at 12 in just a minute. But look at verse 13. The second time that this armor is emphasized, it says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand. Isn't that interesting? It would seem to me, we're talking about an external conflict. It would seem to me that this scripture would say, put on the full armor of God so when the day of evil comes, you might be able to fight. But that's not what it says. It says that God's armor allows you to stand. Whoo. So my problem is not my inability to fight, it's my inability to stand when I should be standing. Oh, now if I'm going to take this to its logical conclusion, it requires, bear with me, this requires a little bit of logic here. It requires the full armor of God for me to stand. Therefore, I can conclude without it, I can't stand. Weakness and falling is certain outside of God's provision. And sometimes I wonder why I am weak. Sometimes I wonder why I falter. Sometimes I wonder why I'm going from one difficulty to another. And then I have to step back and say, wait a minute, is there something in me, something about me that is not girded in God's provision? Because if it were, God's provision enables me to stand. Oh. Take on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand. And then when it's all said and done, you will stand. Wow. Now we begin to see also a little bit of why this armor, why God's provision is so important. We begin to understand why it is imperative that we put it on. We begin to understand why it needs to be full. We begin to understand why it must come from God, because it says there is a day of evil that is coming. Wow. And then if you really want to understand what that day of evil looks like, let's go back and look at verse 12. The importance of this armor is highlighted. The imperative nature of God's provision is seen so clearly when we begin to understand the nature of the enemy that we're fighting. You see, if we were battling against natural forces, then our own natural efforts would be sufficient. I mean, if it's just me against you and there's no spiritual component in it, I mean, you may be bigger than me, but I'm faster than you. Or you may be smaller than me. Or you may be stronger than me, but I can bite. You know, I learned very quickly, because I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm kind of a little bit smaller guy. I'm not a real, real tall person. That's okay. I've learned to live with that. But when I was younger, it caused me some problems, because sometimes I would, believe this or not, sometimes I would have a mouth, and my mouth would get in my way. Or sometimes, actually, I was just minding my own business, and someone else, for whatever reason, had. And so I wasn't a huge fighter, but I found myself in a few scraps in my younger days. And I learned right away that there's no such thing as a fair fight. That's right. You get somebody bigger and stronger than you that's got you in a headlock. I had that happen to me once. A guy had me in a headlock. And he, right there, and I could not get out. He was bigger than me. He was stronger than me. He was going to pop my head off, I felt like. So you know what I did? I grabbed a mouthful of his side, and I bit him until my teeth almost met together. Do you know how long it took him to let me go? Like that. I was in another scrap one time. I shouldn't be doing this. Lord, help me. I was in another little scrap one time, and the only thing I could do, again, it was my mouth. The only thing I could do was grab a mouthful of his hair. I grabbed a mouthful of his hair, and I jerked my head back as hard as I could. I jerked a bald spot on that guy. He let me go like that. You see, if I was in a natural fight, if you and I were in a natural conflict against natural forces, we'll find a way to win. Of our own accord. But this scripture says, look, you need to be aware, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And so you're not going to be able to bite their side. You're not going to be able to snatch out their hair. You're not going to be able to come up with some kind of natural ability on your own, because this is not a natural fight. This is a supernatural fight. So you want to know why it's imperative that you put on God's provision and that it be full and complete, because we wrestle not, we struggle not against flesh and blood. It's not a natural fight. And so our man-made efforts are not going to cut it. When you're in a supernatural fight, you need supernatural provision. And then it says that the nature of these entities that we're fighting against, it says that we're fighting against rulers and authorities and powers of the world's darkness. Now don't think of, again, don't think of these as being natural things. We're not talking about presidents and kings. We're not talking about governors and legislators, because those are natural things. But sometimes these supernatural forces will manifest themselves through these natural means. So don't get sidetracked when certain legislation is passed. Your enemy's not the legislator. Your enemy is that demonic spirit behind it. And so when New York passes a law that says it's acceptable to murder a child even after they've been born, don't get so upset at the legislators, because it's not those legislators. That's not your enemy. Your enemy is that Christ-killing spirit behind it. And so we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. These are demonic forces, rulers, authorities, powers of the world's darkness, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Oh, preacher, you're just looking for a devil under every rock. You know what I'm saying? You know, you devil hunters, you see a demon everywhere. Well, I don't see a demon everywhere, but I see them in a lot of places. You just think there's a devil under every rock. No, you know what? They're not hiding under rocks. They're right in your face. Several years ago, I don't know if any of you remember this. Several years ago, there was an author named Frank Peretti. I guess he's still around. But Frank Peretti wrote a book quite a few years ago called This Present Darkness. And then he wrote a sequel to that as well. I really enjoyed that book. Anybody else read that book, This Present Darkness? It's been out for a while. It was a good read for you. But understand this. It was written as a work of fiction. It wasn't based on any historical facts or... All of the characters in the book are fictitious, and it takes place in a fictitious place. But what he does do in there is he peels back the curtain, and he caused a whole generation, including mine, a whole generation of people to realize that there is spiritual warfare that is happening around us all the time. And so many of us, we're just so used to our day-to-day humdrum living, we don't even recognize it. And that there are things that would come into our life, and we just think, well, that's just the way things are. That's just the way things are going to be. And really, it might not be quite so simple as that. There might be some true evil force. Now, again, I'm not looking for a devil under every rock, because they're not under rocks. They're in your business. They're in your face. They're fighting you. They're fighting me. Well, one of the things that Mr. Peretti did in that book was, it made for entertaining reading, but it wasn't really good theology. One of the things he did in that book was he said, okay, so when we talk about these rulers, okay, rulers, those are the low-level demons. We'll call them privates. He didn't really say it that way, but it's, and then you got rulers, and then you got authorities. Now, maybe those are the sergeants. And then you have powers of the dark world. Well, maybe we could call those... lieutenants. And then you've got evil in the heavenly realm. Maybe those are the generals. And I'm not going to fuss about that too much. If it helps the story flow, if it helps you to understand the reality of spiritual warfare, no big deal. But really, it doesn't matter to me which one of those is stronger, which one of those is of a higher rank. It makes no difference to me, because I've even got to have the armor of God to go against the private. You don't stand a chance against the general, whoever that is. And so I'm not so much concerned about trying to figure out, well, where do these things rank? Which one is more powerful? Which one is less powerful? And that's a sign, you know. And so to go against the principalities, we need to raise up the people. Yeah. I'm not so much concerned about all of that trying to, but what I need to know is that there's a very real enemy, and he comes to me in all kinds of ways, and there's not one single part of our society that isn't impacted by this, whether it's the lowest level or whether it's the highest level. When entire nations can sanction what God's word to be declares to be sin, when entire nations can do that, it doesn't matter to me whether that is a low-level private or a high-level general. This is a very real enemy that we face. If you don't leave from here today with any other understanding, understand this. You are in a war against a very, very real enemy who is out to destroy you. It's not just chance or circumstance. It's not just bad luck. It's not just, well, that's just the way things are supposed to be. It's none of that. You have an enemy who has specifically targeted you. It's almost as if the moment that you came to Christ, you took the blood of Christ and you drew huge target on yourself. You see, he can't get to God. The enemy and his demons forces, they can't get to God himself. Never, listen, and by the way, let me just take a step back. Never ever make the mistake of thinking that there's this huge eternal battle between God and the devil, and I wonder who's more powerful, and I wonder who's going to win. It's already been determined. That's already been decided. The outcome has already been decided. God wins. The enemy was created by him. How could the created ever overcome the creator? Doesn't even make any sense. And God's word declares that God will always prevail, but we're caught in the middle of it. And there are true, real demonic forces that have targeted you. They can't get to God, so they will get to you, the one made in his image and the one living by his power. And the one covered by his blood. And so you face a real enemy. You want to know why Paul would be so strong with this? Look, be strong. This is not a day for weakness. This is not a time to be complacent. This is the time to be strong in the power that God has provided for you. You face a very real enemy. Every single day. Some things are not circumstance. Some things are the active work of the enemy against you. Learn to recognize it. Learn to discern. And because that is a reality that we face every single day, God says, I'm not going to leave you unprotected. I'm not going to leave you without provision. Here, take upon yourself, in my strength, take upon yourself this full, complete armor. I've got you covered from head to toe. Woo! And what it will enable us to do is to stand. I'm going to stand. When everybody else runs, when everybody else falls, when everybody else's knees buckle in weakness, I'm going to stand. In God's strength, with God's provision, my knees might get shaky from time to time. And I might even have to drop to one knee on occasion. But you can rest assured because of God's strength and because of God's provision, I'm going to stand. And my friend, you can stand. You don't have to succumb. You don't have to be overwhelmed. You don't have to be overcome by what the enemy throws at you. You can stand. You can stand. It's a serious battle that we're in. Let me tell you what my prayer is for you right now and in the days ahead. My prayer is that God would begin, and hopefully he started today, but over the next several days and over the rest of your life, actually, my prayer for you is that God would help, that God would cause that curtain, that familiarity, that every day-to-day mundane blindness to be peeled back, and that just like Gideon, that you read about Gideon. When you read that Friday night, I knew. And just like Gideon, remember Gideon? He said, God, I don't really know that I'm seeing things clearly. I don't really know that what I'm seeing here is truly a representation of what's going on. God, open my eyes. Peel back the blindness that I might see what's actually going on. And so my prayer for you is that God would begin to peel back the blindness and the things that you once were just consigned to live with, that you will finally recognize this is the work of the enemy, and I don't have to live with this. I don't have to deal with this. This is a battle that God has already fought and won on my behalf. By God's strength, I will stand. By God's strength, I will be empowered. By God's strength, I will defend myself. By God's strength, I will go on the attack if necessary. But I refuse to recognize this or to think that this is somehow just some natural thing. But no, no, no. There's a supernatural enemy, and God has given us supernatural provision. Now, several things can happen. If God will open our eyes that way, number one, it can scare you to death. Whoa. I thought that was just a thing. That's a devil. I thought this was just some circumstance that I had to live with the rest of my life. No, no, no. That's a demon spirit. There's a demonic force behind that. And it can scare you, but it can also inspire you. That devil, he must see something in me. He must recognize God's potential there. He must recognize the blood of Christ on my life, and he's trying to tear me down. God, by your strength, I will stand. Now, over the next several weeks, I want us to take a look at these various components of God's provision for us. I mean, it's going to get good. You think God has left any area of your life vulnerable and accessible to the enemy? Think again, my friend. He's got you covered from head to toe. It's God's provision for you so that you can stand. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Lord, today, I'm fully aware that standing right here in this room, there are some who are fighting a battle. Lord, there's some right here in the sound of my voice that are, they're doing okay as far as the internal struggle. It's the external things that just seem to pound and pound and pound and pound. It's the external stuff that's starting to get to them. Lord, I pray today that your people would first off see just what kind of enemy they're up against. And that when they recognize just how serious this battle is, it will cause them to run to you with all of their heart and all of their might. That they might be strong in your strength. That they might stand in your provision. That they might take upon themselves all that you've given, that they can stand. When their knees start to buckle, let them stand. When their heart seems to be weakened and giving out of resolve, Lord, let them stand. When everything inside of them is telling them to run, God, by your strength, may they firmly plant their feet and stand. Lord, I pray for those that are experiencing battles today. I don't know what they are. It could be a financial battle. It could be an outright attack of the enemy in their physical body. It can manifest itself in all number of ways, but God, in Jesus' name, we plead the blood of Christ. We stand in the provision of God today. Lord, let your people be strong. Lord, let your people be strong in your might that they can stand. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Look, I'm going to go ahead and give you a heads up. Inevitably, when we start meddling in the devil's business like this, inevitably, he's going to get upset. And so it very well could be that this very week, I'm not trying to scare you, but it very well could be that this week, because we're trying to open our eyes, because we're asking the Holy Spirit to help us to see things, not just in the natural, but in the spiritual, because we're asking that of God, it very well could be that the enemy gets real active in your life this week. Remember these words. Put on the full armor of God, that you might be able to stand. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. God's got provision for you. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad God's got provision for you? The enemy's real, and the enemy's strong, but my God is above it all. Amen? He's above it all. He's above it all. Let me bless you before we go. Father, I bless your people today with divine insight. Just as you did for Gideon, I bless them with divine vision. That they would see not only the enemy, but more importantly, they would see that those that are with us are more and greater than those that oppose us. God, I bless them with the ability to stand firm this week, to not yield, to not grow weary, but to stand firm in your strength and in your mighty power. I bless them in that way, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hey, look, love on each other, pray with one another, fellowship together. Don't you love the body of Christ? God bless you guys.